Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, and you're listening to the Ask a Christian podcast. I'm your host, Nate. I almost forgot my name. all right, so Chris survives the first day of Passover, well, at least up until this point. If anyone was going to be struck dead, it would be him. So, you know, congrats, Chris. Just playing. We discussed the protest, and I mean, what is there we can really say? People are dumb. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. The, you know, pro-Hamas rallies and chants taking over the college campuses, because that's the current thing. Then we have a pro-life discussion. Then we get into the scenario of, would you rather leave your child with a bear in the woods or a man? So we talk about that. Pretty ridiculous. Probably a bear. Then hypnosis. Is it real? Is it fake? Is it demonic? What's the Bible say about it? We talk about that. Then quickly we touch on aliens, because what's a day without aliens? So, you know, like less little green men, more like just the natural UFO phenomenon we see. Like, it seems like material stuff flying in the sky, the UFOs, like the 50s, that type stuff. Not my topic. I didn't bring it up. Anyway, that's some of the topics today and more. So give it a listen, share the links, and we'll see you later.
Happy Passover, Chris.
Pascha.
Well, I wanted to say, I mean, if you survive so far and haven't been struck down, I guess you can't be all bad.
Yeah. I mean, that and eating whole capybaras.
So,
Dippity will appreciate this. So, Dippity, I was trolling Prashant a little bit, and he was talking about reptilians, and so I was like, all right, well, should I be concerned that I can unhinge my jaw and swallow whole mammals? And of course, he's like, wait, what?
Huh. Yes, so happy Passover. Let's see. Man, I don't know what to talk about. Like, everything's just so. I think this is what you call blackpilled. It's like, I don't know. Like, on one hand, you can't turn on any channel without seeing, like, the freaking, like, Antifa under their new skin of pro-Hamas everywhere, like, in these stupid, like, pro-Palestine rallies. But it's like, I don't know. Like, what are we going to say? Like, they suck? I mean, what else do we talk about? It's like, bro, yeah, you guys suck. You're all crazy.
I mean, can we just scoop them all up, give them a free plane ride to downtown Gaza City with a power bar and a bottle of water in their hand and just drop them off? Especially the queers for Palestine. That's my favorite. The queers. Did you see that there's like an art show, like Queers for Palestine? I'm just like, yeah, man, let's drop those guys off in the middle of like Rafah.
Well, see, let's see how they fare. But no one will actually do it.
I know. That's the sad part.
So, like, you know, they're calling like everyone fascist and, you know, anti this and anti that while they're like, you know, beating Jews over the head with like poles and telling them they're going to murder them. But that's cool. That's not anti anything. But if we say, guys, you're burning down freaking New York City, can you maybe stop it? Get out of here, fascist. Yeah. So, you know, like the pro-Palestine cancer rallies are, I mean, it's basically all the Antifa people. They're just like, you know, called up their call list and they're like, hey guys, you know, leave your Antifa gear at home, get your checkered tablecloth flag. And, you know, we have a new protest for you. So they're like, oh, Antifa's going pro-Palestine. Like, no, don't say Antifa. No, you're a Palestinian. Like, no one cares that you're like alabaster white. You're not Antifa anymore. So, I mean, yeah, it's like, come on, Antifa, get your new skin wrap. Now you're pro-Palestine.
I mean, yeah, they always take, you know, a body and just wear its skin. But did you see where the billionaire guy is essentially like, they're just making lists. Like, every person who participates in one of these pro-Hamas rallies, they're just quietly taking notes and facial rec of all of these people. And they're like, all right, we control most of the major corporations in the country, and we're going to make sure you never get a job.
I mean, that's
it's pretty awesome.
I mean, that's kind of awesome, but man, that's playing too long of a game. Like, I mean, that's like, yeah, that's a really long game.
I mean, the Babylon Bee has an article today that DeSantis has built a circus cannon that will launch Hamas protesters into Gaza.
Man, Babylon Bee's been quiet. I haven't seen them pop up as much as usual for
Dude,
a little
they have
while.
Been on fire. What are you talking about? Like, just go to their site. I mean, it is It is a thing of beauty.
That's the thing. I guess you go to these sites. I just like wait for their articles to pop up on like, you know, the social media I do have remaining.
Bro. The two sites three sites I check every day. Well, four sites, okay? So like I just check them in the morning. It takes like literally 3 minutes. Babylon Bee. Not the Bee. Because there's usually a hilarious take on regular news. Protestia and Reformation Charlotte, or Dissenter.
Well, yeah, like Protestia and Dissenter, like they always have like the exact same articles.
Yeah, they're like friends.
Yes, I mean, if you read one, you've seen the other one. What's up with Not the Bee? It's been even longer since I've heard anything from them.
I mean, they're just a regular news site, but like,
I know what they are.
like there was, there was something. I'll just go find the article. It was so good. It was like Babylon Bee cannot hold a candle to real life. We just give up. We surrender. What was it? Yeah. So the queer art market for Palestine that's requiring masks is real. Read the details and you'll understand why the Babylon Bee can't hope to compete with reality.
Well, what's going on Dissenter and Protestia? I mean, it's got to be more gay stuff in the church, right?
Oh, so like apparently there was a bunch of like shirtless Muslims at that Stronger Men's conference that nobody said anything about. Yeah.
What?
I was like, wait,
just hanging out?
Nah, like performing some kind of ritual dance.
When you say Muslim, do you actually mean Muslim?
No, I mean like actual real life Muslims. Yeah, just go to Protestia. It's like the lead story on Protestia.
Wow.
Because they just keep like digging deeper into this men's conference, and it's like, it just, you can't make this stuff up. So it's like, wow, like, didn't expect to see that. Whoa, that got even crazier. Oh, wow. That's...
Dippity, you're going to get your ticket for a Stronger Men's Conference for next year?
Yes, I got it already. Thanks for asking.
Yes, I got one for me and my chinchilla.
I'm going with Chris. He's going to eat people by unhinging his jaw.
Oh, sorry. I was fussing up my kid. What?
What? Oh, I was just wondering if you know what time it is. I was just asking if you have the time.
8:14.
Thank you. That's all.
No, that is not what he was doing. He is fibbing to you right now. He was asking if you were going to go to the Stronger Men's Conference next year.
If you got your tickets.
Of course not.
Well, I mean, you can be whatever you want to be. I mean, we don't want to stand in your way.
You can identify as a chinchilla and get a ticket.
Sean, how you doing? You got your Stronger Man's ticket?
Oh, well, I don't know what to say about this here. How y'all doing this morning? Number one, ain't no way in the world I'm going to know lesbian, LGBTQIA, PQRST, WXYZ, plus, minus, multiplication, and division with a little bit of calculus involved. I don't care. Ain't going to nothing that would be abominable like that.
Back to you, Chris. Oh, what? Were you still talking, Sean? All right, Chris.
I think Sean is an actual man, so he doesn't have to go to a conference to show him how to be a man. Pretty sure that's how that works.
I don't know. I think there are a lot of actual men that could probably use a conference that shows them how to be a man.
By actual man, you mean biological man, not like men.
No, I mean like manly man. Oh, yeah. See, we had two different definitions of man. See how that worked right there? We just talked past each other.
Chris, you should probably go to the Stronger Man's conference.
To be stronger in my manly attributes?
So well, we play that song from Milan?
Fortunately, I didn't know that song, so I guess we both get bumped up on the man scale. Well, Chris, you live in Ford, and you don't have an alligator, and you don't have guns. So, I mean, you know, you could probably deal with a little more, I don't know, man stuff.
I mean, did you see that, like, there were literally within, like, by Tuesday, there were two new alligator wrangling videos in Florida?
Yeah, I saw one. The UFC guy, like with tattoos and shoeless, like jumped on a gator, and like I saw that one.
Yeah, he wrestled that gator. It was pretty impressive.
He wrestled, so that goes up a point or two.
Yeah, I wrestled the gator actually.
Wrestling. What's up, David? So, how are you?
I wrestled the gator at Gatorland. It was super fun.
I'm doing good.
Anything on your mind? Because you see what we've got on the table.
I was saying we could play that that Mulan song, you know, make a man out of you, or something like that for the guys who aren't men.
Yeah, that was the first, like, Disney transgender character, right?
What?
Mulan.
I never really saw
her. She was a cross-dresser.
She was just a cross-dresser.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, there you
Mike,
go.
I saw you raise your hand. What's up, Mike? How's it going?
Y'all should play James Brown. This is amazing.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
How's it going, folks?
Good. What's on your mind?
Have you wrestled any alligators today?
I have not wrestled any alligators ever. I think it's interesting the conversation you're having about, like, LGBTQ, whatever it is. I'm an atheist, but I guess you could say a non-woke atheist. I get to the same conclusions usually as conservatives do, but not through any religious ideology, just kind of biology and science. I get a lot of flack from the atheist community, but I mean, it's really hard to deny, like, demonstrable facts. So
I mean, isn't that kind of like the thing to do if you're an atheist, is deny demonstrable facts?
Okay. Well, I tend to make the case of male and female. Those speak of biology. Man and woman talk about gender, if you want to, if that's how you want to do it. But man and women are archetypes for adult human male and adult human female, respectively. And if you can use them interchangeably, then they lose all their meaning, and you might as well not even use the words anymore, because they don't point to anything. Words are symbols that we use to point to concepts, ideas, and objects, so we don't have to grunt, point, and throw shit at each other. And if we're just going to use words any way we want at any time, then they don't have any real intrinsic inherent meaning anymore, and we might as well just stop fucking using them. Basically, I'm saying everything devolves into absurdity at one point.
Well, I mean, I think you may be one of the more non-religious atheists I've met, because that's the side you seem to take, because the others that are like, I mean, you know, science is the religion. So like, it seems like you're taking actual biology and scientific things, and you're like, yeah, man, it's just data. And they're taking it and turning it into a cult.
Well, so, yeah, I tend to try to be as intellectually honest as possible, as much as I can. If you don't in any conversation, like, what the fuck, what's the point?
Well, not to be police, but I mean, you know, we try not to have all kinds of language, because I don't want to, well, one,
fair
I don't
want to
get into, I don't want to, I want to have it available for everyone on like YouTube.
Sorry about that. Like, no problem.
No problems.
Isn't there a new phrase for that, Nate? Isn't
for
it
what?
Called secular Christian or something like that, where you believe there's values in the religion, but you're not of the religion? Seems
cultural
to me.
Cultural
like Richard
Christian.
Dawkins.
Cultural Christian. Thank you.
That's almost like it's almost like a Joe Rogan stance. That seems to be kind of where he's headed.
Yeah, it's the term, because I had forgotten it.
Francis, I saw your hand raised. Was that an accident, or did you want to be up here?
What do you think of the phrase cultural Christian?
Well,
I mean,
I think that... ahead, Mike.
I mean, if you want to take... If you want to take the good teachings of the Bible and apply that to your life, sans any like supernatural claims that can't be demonstrated, I don't really see a problem with that. But a lot of it in the Bible was kind of appropriated from earlier like stories, histories, religions, etc., etc. It's almost like just normal shit. If your goal is pardon the language, I'm sorry. it's normal stuff if your goal is to like have humans flourishing as best as possible, et cetera, et cetera. But literally speaking, someone that is a Christian is just someone that follows the teachings of Christ. I mean, they don't necessarily have to worship any deity. They don't have to buy into the supernatural claims mentioned in the Bible. It's just literally following what Christ teaches. That's how I view it.
Well, I mean, I guess that's fine because, I mean, you know, people can define terms however they want. But, you know, I mean, like the Bible would say things like it's more than just Jesus saying, I don't know, you know, eat fish 3 times a day and brush your teeth before bed. And here's a golden rule that, you know, anyone can figure out. Well, I mean, you know, he says like, learn of me, you know, like, you know, monkey see, monkey do type thing. Like, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm not doing. Follow me. So like in John, you know, 8:30, I mean, Christian means just like Christ follower, right? Or disciple of Christ. So like in John, whether someone believes it or not, I mean, it's written there and it says, look, remain faithful to my teachings, to those who believed in him. So it's like, well, you know, it goes beyond just him saying, hey, here's the good things you should do. Here are bad things you should stay away from. It goes into, you know, believing the things he says. So some of the things he says do get into the supernatural, right? Where, you know, I have this eternal life that I can make anyone live forever, and I can forgive everyone of this thing called sin. So, I mean, if you're really going to have a holistic approach to following Christ, to being a disciple of Christ, I mean, that kind of takes the totality of it. So if it's like, well, I'm half a disciple of Christ, I ignore the supernatural stuff. I'd say that wouldn't be the way the Bible defines it. And again, you don't have to believe the Bible, but I mean, it is written there. But yeah, I get what you're saying, though.
Gotcha.
Hey, Reed, what's up? Are you speaking, Reed? 3, 2, 1. Monica, do you have anything else?
Yeah. Hey, Nate. I wanted... Serendipity and I have been having a discussion about the current legislation going on in the different states regarding abortion. And how some of the conservative or / Republicans are taking it too far with like travel bans and prosecuting women for murder. I don't think that's happened yet. But I think we should not shy away from discussions about pro-life, and that we're allowing them to frame the topic poorly. And so I wondered what your thoughts were about that, Nate.
And I think it's a huge deal, right? Because some people will say they're like, take an absolutist approach, which is ban everything 100% or you're not a true Christian. Well, I think that's ridiculous. I think that's short-sighted. You can be a true Christian and have a different approach. For example, I don't think you can legislate morality, right? So they want to try, but you can't. Let's just say they make all abortions 100% outlawed. Well, then what? You're going to have people that break the system. So you're going to have people that violate the law. Okay, so you have people who, you've outlawed abortion, right? You've outlawed, you've forbidden it. No baby's ever going to be killed again, except the ones that violate the law. Okay, so now you have a dead baby and a criminal. So what's the penalty? Is the penalty a small fine? Okay, well, do you have to be a real Christian if you say, can you not be a real Christian if you say, well, it's a $500 fine? Are you not Christian enough because that's not a stiff enough penalty? Okay, what if you say, do you have to say death? Well, great, now you're murdering people too. So like, if you say, well, you're not a real Christian unless you outlaw abortion 100%. Okay, people are going to break the law. Then what? Can you be a real Christian unless you want the death penalty? So that's the thing that's short-sighted. Like, both people in this scenario would abhor any abortion, let's just say across the board. But it's how you deal with it. And you can't say, well, one makes you a real Christian, one doesn't, because then you have to deal with, well, what about when people break the law? Then what? So you go all the way to the death penalty, and now it's like, oh, well, if you're gonna murder someone for murdering someone else, now are you a real Christian? So I think that whole argument, like, it's almost how you got two pastors, goodness, like the Stronger Men's Conference, like how you've got like two pastors who are on reasonable equal footing, but everyone's like calling everyone else to repent. It's like, no, you need to repent. It's like, no, you need to repent. It's like, okay, guys, come on. How about you both probably should repent. But that's the thing. So the scale just keeps sliding.
Let me give you a scenario. Somebody walked into a daycare with a machete and chops into fish bait 30 children, like 2-year-olds, does that person get the death penalty?
Depends where they are.
I mean, I don't mean practically. I mean, should they get the death penalty? Yes.
So I'm a little conflicted. No, I'm just going to say no. I don't like the death penalty. So, I mean, even though presumably I'm the witness and okay. I see it, and there's no question in my mind, I think that would be what it's for. But as a general rule, I don't like it for those off chances that the government is wrong. So I temper that with my distrust of the government. But generally, no, I don't like the death penalty. So I'm a bad one to ask. But let's just play along and say yes for your scenario. So someone other than me, you just ask that they say yes, of course.
Right. What's the difference between that and abortion?
I don't think anything.
Oh, okay. Right,
but then right. You have, but I mean, this person is totally not me. But the law, but the law, but wait, hey, what, sorry. But I want to say, but the law does, right? So there's first degree, second degree, intentional, unintentional. So which one of those? Okay, who was speaking? Was it Monica?
Yeah, well, it depends. Is the machete wielder the abortion doctor or the mother? Because if it's the, well, not a mother.
The mother.
The woman, then it's just one. Instead of dozens of toddlers chopped into fish bait. Thanks for that visual. Tennessee is doing something interesting that conflicts with my pro-life stance, too.
Wait, Monica, before you go there.
Well, it
so goes to the death 30 penalty, toddlers is not the same as one toddler?
I would say that they're both evil and that 30 is a greater tragedy because it affects the families of 30 instead of one, but they're both evil. Did that
but they would still both equally deserve the death penalty. One person chopping up a toddler who is just one toddler would equally deserve the death penalty as much as somebody who chopped up 30 toddlers.
And I thought my scenario was convoluted.
Right. So I do want to touch on the Tennessee legislation that's new because it involves the death penalty. But I think the question that we ask about abortion is too late. It's too little too late. The question we should be asking is, what can we do everything in our power to prevent unwanted pregnancies from happening? Then we don't have to have the ugly question of, based on the mother's opinion, whether that life deserves to live. So if we preempt it by preventing as many unwanted pregnancies as and then educating and letting women know that people are lying to you. It's more than a clump of cells. It's more than a tumor. You're more than an incubator, that it's a human being that you're ending the life of. And maybe then their morality, they will choose life instead. So that's my take on the abortion thing. And I really resent the leftist progressives saying that we just care about a baby's being born. We don't care about children. And that we don't care about the health of the mother. Because I don't know of any Christian or conservative that says the mother gets to die to save the baby. I've never heard of that in any discussion I've had. And the framing that I was talking about, the terrible framing.
Brother, you wanted to say something a minute ago.
No, I was saying, you know, I had a joke from, you know, a transgender joke. It's clean, don't worry. Why can't anybody see Bruce Jenner anymore?
Why?
Because he became transparent.
Dad jokes. So what was the Tennessee law that you're talking about with the death penalty?
That there are now going to kill pedophiles.
Oh.
Pedophiles. And
wait, what?
Of all the populations that what I consider when I'm still pro-life and anti-death penalty, that population tests me more than any others. The torturers, the rapists, the child diddlers, those are the ones that test my anti-death penalty stance.
Oh, yeah. I think that the most consistent pro-life position is to be pro-death penalty. I think it's inconsistent to be pro-death penalty or to be anti-death penalty and pro-life.
If we had, I don't know, man. I mean, if we had, if we just had a different system of rulers, I could be persuaded. And I mean, especially like the cases where it's like almost infinitesimally small, like, you know, if I witness a violent murder myself or something like that, I mean, that would be the closest I could come to be like, okay, I saw it with my own eyes. This happened. But if it's just like other people, like, you know, where the government has stacked evidence against them and we found out like 50 years after they're dead, like, oh, it was a frame job. Like, you know, this guy like had an affair with the prosecutor's wife and they framed him and now he's dead. Like, I just, like if we were going to, and I also don't like confinement. Like, I think that sucks too. Like, there are things worse than death and that gets up there. Like, I mean, I wish we could do like Australia. Like, I don't know. They're kind of going off the rails now, but they were doing good for a while. It's like, why don't we just like wall off Wyoming and make that our federal like every prison, everyone that's sitting to something besides a county jail goes to Wyoming. And like, you have an entire state. We just dump them off over a wall and we give them a chance. It's like, look, if you escape, you'll be shot on sight. The ball.
This sounds
York
like
court.
George Carlin almost.
It sounds like Escape from New York.
Yeah, I was about to say that, or Australia back in the day.
Because I think Nate just wants to secretly be Snake Plissken.
It's been too long since I... Wait, well, okay. But it's not exactly like that because, you know, you get all the people who live in Wyoming out, you wall it off. Wyoming is your prison for everyone longer than, like, a year sentence. Great. Throw them there. You're like, here, there's no buildings. There's no prison. You're free to roam. You're in exile. Make the best of what you can. Here's some seeds. Good luck. So, you know, figure it out. There you go. You're free. You have the borders of Wyoming as your home. So elect me leader of the world, and this
what
is what I'll do.
What did Wyoming ever do to you, Nate?
It's just like it's just a really big space with a really low population.
How about we just give them Arizona, because it's mainly desert.
Well, if you want them to die more, put them somewhere where they'll freeze in the winter.
Well, you mean like Wyoming? How cold do you think that Wyoming gets?
Very cold.
I'm confused. Do you want them to freeze to death?
No, I'm saying as someone who wants everyone to die, that should be fine for you. I have faith in them that they'll turn it around and figure out how to build a house out of logs and, like, you know, keep warm and start a fire.
And eat tree branches?
What do you know about Wyoming? There's a lot of animals in Wyoming.
Nate, I tend to take the same stance you do with the death penalty. I can't quite justify it in my head. But then I kind of feel like a hypocrite because I put myself in a hypothetical scenario of what if somebody came and raped and murdered my daughter and my wife? What would I then want to do to them? And it's not pretty. So then I have to kind of take a step back and say, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah, and that's where I'd say, like, the closest I can get is if I, like, eyewitness something. Like my main reason against it is you know, I just distrust people to do their jobs and to not, like, wait the deck and frame innocent people because we've seen too much of that. So I mean, that's my biggest thing. I think the most justified thing is self-defense or defense of another, like, as it's happening, because you don't get time to basically premeditate something. So as someone's trying to harm you or an innocent or something like that, it's like you don't get time to, like, talk them off a ledge. Like, you don't get time to be like, hey, please stop trying to murder me. Please stop trying to murder me. It's like you have to act right then. Like, time is of the essence. So I think that's by far the most defensible stance. And I'm super, super pro self-defense. I think the Bible is too, anyone wondering, because you just don't have time. Like, in a perfect world, someone's got a gun. You're like, hey, don't do that or I'm going to defend myself. And they're like, oh, my bad. I'll just go somewhere else. But I mean that pretty much never happens.
You react. You just react. Murder. You don't think.
That's not murder. That's self-defense.
Yeah, yeah. And then you'd say,
Nate,
well,
are you going to sell tourist packages so, like, people can play the most dangerous game, like, in your open-air prison and
hunt prisoners?
Hunt
humans?
Yeah.
Of course you'd go there. Hey, Courtney, happy Passover. How are you?
You didn't answer my question.
It's like big game hunting.
No, it's a prison.
I'm good. Other than this morning, I decided to get on TikTok, and one of the first things that I seen when I got on was some of the true definition of the word simp. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
The actual kind of.
Yeah, so it basically, it means simpleton, right? So that's where the word came from. It was a female asking a very enticing, inflammatory comment with regards to SA. Hold on 1 second, Hannah.
Hold on. What does SA mean?
Sexual assault. You can't say that word on TikTok. So if you hear me say like something stupid like that or like unalive for killed.
What?
Yeah.
You mean they can spy on us, but you can't say certain words?
Yeah. So anyway, she says, what would you rather have? And since someone just mentioned rape, I'd love to hear the thought here. What would you rather have? Would you rather have your little girl in the woods with a bear or a man?
And that's how your morning started?
That's how my morning started, and I've been mad since. Because
my answer is the one everyone hates. It depends. Depends on the man. Depends on the bear.
Well, of course,
that's what rational people would say.
Right. Exactly. But that's she did the anti-man inflammatory polemic for a reason, because people, I guess, were raised thinking Yogi Bear and Bear in the Blue House is a literal thing. I'm sorry, ma'am, but I know Disney makes them look cute and cuddly, but they're not. So, like, the fact that she is incapable of, one, using statistics properly, because, of course, she pulls out, like, statistics of the male population and rape and sexual assault and all of those things, and then she pulls out how many bear attacks. Yeah, I'm just so beside.
how many bear attacks is low because, like, people don't go seeking out being attacked by a bear?
Correct.
Oh, my God.
And because you know, people tend to gather together, right, rather than people gathering where bears are, you know, like, it's just, I'm like, you are the reason why you, ma'am, you're the type of woman that I would never, this is why I would just say ban women from being in, like, office positions, because, like, and I know that sounds like sexist against my own gender, but it's just like, if you're the type that's making rules for the rest of us, I'd prefer to have a man in there. Thank you. I just prefer
Well, I mean, you just became best friends with Chris, but I mean, I'd rather have my kid in the woods with a bear and a man than this woman, it sounds like.
Oh, exactly. Because, like, are we even going to talk about, and I know what she would say, but I mean, I plan to make a video because that's how irritated it made me. Because I don't like the polemic against men. I don't like a polemic against women either. Like, oh, all women are, you know, lazy or stupid. Like, sorry, but this woman doesn't represent us. She certainly doesn't represent me. And so it bothers me because I have two boys and I have a husband. My husband would lay down his life for a child who's not even his own. Right. I know my husband and I know my boys. One of the first days at school that my oldest son went to school, because I homeschooled him, one of the first days that he went to school, he got into a fight or like a small altercation with a boy who was chasing a girl around and he was hitting her. And my son stepped in the way and was like squared up with this kid. It was like, you don't hit girls. And come to find out, it was brother and sister fighting. But the fact that he stood up for a random girl that he didn't know, like, that made me proud. And so once the school found out what he was doing, they were like, oh, okay, they were brother and sister, you know, bickering. But, like, thank you, but you can't, like, hit people or you can't, like, push people. But, like, it makes me mad. It's like, ma'am, are you the type of woman that's raising the predatory type of men? Like, maybe we should be worried about you. What are you, you know?
Are you going to say that in your video?
Oh, yes. Oh, let me tell you. Yes, it's coming.
Send us a link. I mean, I don't use TikTok, but if you put it somewhere else. Adam, are you about to tell us how you were attacked by a bear or attacked a bear?
No, I just... So, wait a minute. Yogi and Bear in the Big Blue House isn't real? Does that mean Winnie the Pooh isn't real? What?
Your childhood's destroyed now.
Oh, there's another one. Yes, I am literally going to say all of those. Like, because... I'm beside myself that, so let's run this back, right? So we're going to say, okay, let's make it even more nuanced. Let's say you have a known predatory male and you put your daughter in the woods, and then you have a known predatory bear, meaning it's eaten people before. Which one are you putting
Yeah, like it's a bad situation either way, right?
I just let the man and the bear fight it out and then tell the girl to run.
So like it's like nuance it a little more and see what you choose, you know? Because yeah, I understand the risk of SA. But do you understand what the word mauled to death means? So it very quick.
Now, Courtney, if she's saying all this, I think her definition of mauled means going with her friends to a mall somewhere. sorry, Nate.
Or literally mauled to death with cuteness or cuddly.
That's like saying S-A with love.
Yeah.
Mauled to death with cuteness.
So you guys are saying that the pet bear that I keep in my backyard is a
better choice, sure. I don't know. It depends if it's hungry or not.
I mean, he's got to... I mean, my gator has to have something to do during the day. Like, I'm not there to play with the gator.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, right? Like, if the bear's really, really full and, you know, is about to go into hibernation and it's just, like, lethargic, its energy's down, or one of those cases where it mistakes the child for its, like, cub that got eaten or hit by a car and it tries to raise it as its own and becomes a pretty good protector because it actually thinks it's its mom or, I don't know, some weird thing like that. Sure, I'll take the bear. I mean, if it tries to eat it, like, feed the kid, like, raw salmon, I mean, it'd probably get sick and die anyway. But, I mean... You know, the road to bear hell is paved with good bear intentions, I guess.
I eat raw salmon all the time. You're not going to get sick and die. What are you talking about?
You have a tapeworm, Chris. We've established this. Go get yourself checked.
Is anyone else like me, and whenever they see, like, a crocodile or a snake or something like that, they automatically, like, turn into a version of the crocodile hunter?
Well, my kid did. She was out, like, playing with a black racer the other day. This other neighbor girl is like screaming and crying, and my kid was like petting it.
Yeah, see, that's like another thing that I intend to say, because like she's of, you know, our shade of color, and I'm gonna say, ma'am, I know that there's like this stigma of people that look like us, our skin tone. You know how we just like grab wild animals and take them home and pet them like wild coyotes that look rabid, and like I know that that's the stigma, but you do understand that that's dangerous, right? Like that's another thing that I plan to say, because it seems as though there's this idea that wild animals, this is so stupid to me. I'm so sorry. I'm so upset about it, because it's like you're the problem. You are literally the problem, making everything about wild animals mauling other animals and even like they eat their own and all of that. Like you're just gonna forget that. And then focus on the fact that humans eat their own, you know, metaphorically, right? When they essays his own daughter, sexual assaults his own daughter or something. Like, we're just going to kind of forget about how it works in the animal world. But then it's just like with atheism, they go, oh, well, I have no, you know, God to tell me what to do, so I can do what I want. So it's like you're not carrying over the same weights and measures to, it drives me nuts. I'm sorry.
So wait, you seem like kind of a weird hippie chick to me. So, you mentioned that humans don't eat like human, but like, have you ever heard of the placenta soup?
Yes, I have. And I think it's stupid. Why am I a weird hippie person?
Oh, wait. I was gonna say. Wait, did you make placenta soup? Because that was my next question.
Yeah, but why do I seem like a weird hippie person? What do you mean?
I think because you're like in tune with nature, and that's foreign to Chris.
In what?
I'm a city boy.
Oh well.
It seems like you, you know, you live in country places.
Well, no, Steffi would be like, Steph would be the hippie one because she's like also kind of in tune with nature, but she like makes thread out
wait
of angora
a
fur.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that would be more hippie. Courtney would be out there like tying a bandana around her head, like you know, gutting a deer to feed her family.
Yeah, like, Yeah, but I mean, I'm an herbalist, so I mean, I can utilize what's around me, but I don't hug the trees. I don't think that the trees are here and should never be chopped down or anything like that. I mean, I'm like in the middle. I go, let's not just, you know, sweepingly chop down acres upon acres upon acres upon acres upon acres of trees just because. Let's look for alternative reasons, you know, or ways to grow and get less of a den of you know, in the ecosystem, fine. I'm for conservation, but I'm also not a tree hugger. I'm not going to strap myself to a tree.
Yeah. Well, see, that's that more of the middle of the line approach, right. Like that reasonable thinking, because like the tree huggers say, no, don't touch any tree. They have feelings. You're going to make them sad. And look what California did. They didn't do any of the undergrowth trimming. They just let everything, all of, you know, nature's little creation sit there. And what happened? A spark got caught and the whole thing went up because the underbrush wasn't dealt with because hippies. So versus conservationists who are like what you just said, it's like, look, we're going to get rid of the dead undergrowth. We're going to trim back stuff. It's going to be good. It's like pruning. You cut things back and it flourishes and grows, and then you can use what you've cut away. And as a result, you end up with better, happier, healthy trees than doing nothing and letting those trees and everything else around it burn.
Can we just dose all the hippies with enough LSD that every time they eat a salad, they think that the lettuce is screaming at them?
Well, the thing of it is, though, too, Nate, is that there's a difference in, like, hippie and then conservationist and then just normal, everyday, redneck country boys. Redneck country boys that, you know, we do all that stuff, but, I mean, we're not tree huggers either.
You can skin a buck, you can run a trot line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'd say you can survive?
Oh, yeah. I can. I mean, I could do it at the same time. Skin a duck while running a trot line. What are you talking about?
I bet you don't make your own whiskey and your own smoke, too. Because you're a good God-fearing Christian. But you could if you wanted to, probably.
Seems like that we got a moonshiner on our hands.
Courtney's the only one who knows what I'm talking about. Wow, you all city slickers.
No, I get it.
You're the only one.
What are you, is this a reference?
I'm basically quoting a Hank Lyrics Jr. song.
A country boy can survive.
I know what you were talking about. That's why I laughed, Nate.
Oh, okay. I thought you may be on the fence. Okay, well, Chris has no idea. Chris, you disappoint me, sir. You're going to my Wyoming prison.
I mean, all right. As long as the rules don't apply to me. Like everything else.
What's the Christian perspective, someone says, on hypnosis? Is it real? Is it demonic? Is it fake? Man, all these things. I just want to say, you
all
know.
All of the above.
Yeah. I was going to say, it depends. You know, I mean, are we talking about just like funny carnival tricks where like everyone knows it's not real hypnosis except, you know, like some little like 5-year-old kid that like the quote magician or the hypnotist is like, you know, doing a trick where like the audience has evolved, everyone's laughing at them because they all clearly see what he's doing. And the little kid, he's like tapping them on the other side of the shoulder and making them look around or something like that. I mean, obviously you can't even call that hypnosis, but I mean, they think it is, but everyone else is so like brought into it. And then you've got like people who like get into the, like psychology and like really do like just things to, like mentally trip them out. That's just like, you know, using psychology or some other type of like, just completely natural means or whatever. I'm with Chris, all of the above. And I mean, if it's like full on where people are like, wow, what happened? I don't know. I'm surprised Chris said all of the above because he's usually takes a big step back for demon stuff. Like it doesn't exist unless someone's like possessed or something. But where were you going with that, Chris, on the all of the above?
I think demons exist. What are you talking about?
Well, no, but I mean, it's like, you know, how people see demons everywhere, and it's like, but you said hypnosis could be all of the above. So are you saying if someone's demon possessed, that's what you're equating to hypnosis, or?
I mean, I think that you can be hypnotized. I mean, I think that they've shown this in actual clinical trials. I'm not sure how far, you know, the power of suggestion would go. Like, that's up for debate, but I mean, I don't think it's controversial to say there is such a thing as hypnotism. And as far as like, you know, oh yeah, last week I convinced Nate that he was a chicken and he went around scratching the dirt and looking for worms. Like, yeah, I don't think that's real. But like, I mean, or maybe if, I mean, it's Nate. So
Chris, you want to fix our routers. Chris, you want to fix our routers.
Oh, amazingly, I do that and I get paid. but yeah.
For free. For free.
Oh, for free. No. Yeah. It's like,
oh. One free service call.
Yeah, right? No. I like tell clients, I'm just like, look, man, if I darken the door of your establishment, the clock starts running and it's 100, well, now it's 225 an hour. So I'm like.
You sure it's 225 an hour?
Yeah.
And people pay that?
All the time and gladly.
Oh my Lord. Wait, bro. So I have a problem like with, if there's like an electrician or something or a plumber and it's like, you know, they basically pay you like, make you pay like $90 just for them showing up. But mm-hmm. I don't feel good about that because it's like, okay, well, what if it's just like to diagnose something, or especially if it's something like you can't fix, like I don't want to pay. And sometimes they're cool about it, but it's like, look, you should get $90, you know, if you show up and you're like, oh yes, I will diagnose this and I can do this. And you know, that's $90 for me to come out. But if it's like, they come out here and they're like, oh, that's a this and this, I'm not prepared, or I don't have the skill for that, you got to call someone else. You shouldn't have to pay $90 for that. Because, like, they just show up, are there for, like, 5 seconds to say, I can't fix this, and then leave.
Well, you shouldn't have to pay for that service again, meaning them to come back out when they do have the scope or whatever. But you should have to pay for time and service of a person, because you're not necessarily paying them just for the gas and everything that's included, but you're also paying them for the skill for which it took them many years to acquire. Because if you called them, that means you don't have the skill. So you're paying for the skill for them to tell you, you need this, that, and the next. I don't have it on my truck at the moment, but I'll be back. You shouldn't have to pay that twice.
Yeah. And a lot of them give you a discount if you throw that out there. Cause it's like, you know, like this plumber guy, because, man, I tried, no matter what I did, the stupid faucet kept leaking. And it was just like a trickle. I tried for days. So I finally called a plumber. It was like $600. It killed me that I couldn't stop this stupid leak. Like, plumbing is my bane. Anyway, so this guy was under the thing fixing it, and he's like, yeah, some people, you know, they get mad when I get show up and I fix something. Oh, because I was commenting how quick he did it. And he just, like, shows up in 5 minutes. It was, like, done. And, you know, I just kept my mouth shut. I'm like, hey, I appreciate this. I'm like, man, you did it super quick. And I'm like, because I heard it was a pet peeve of people, and it makes sense what you just said, Courtney. I'm like, oh, you know, I know some people probably get mad as I'm like sweating bullets waiting for the bill. I'm like, I know some people get mad that, you know, the plumbers and whatever show up in like 5 minutes, they fix the problem, and they're out. They're like, well, why do I get to pay for 5 minutes? And it's like, but you're not paying for 5 minutes. You're paying for the years of experience they have to learn that so they can do it in 5 minutes. He's like, hey, I appreciate that. Here's a big discount. I'm like, thanks, brother. So, and it's true. I mean, you know, I mean, I can't do it in 3 days. But this guy, I mean, you know, he goes to school, he gets training, and, you know, he's got all years of experience. So if he can show up in 5 minutes and do something I couldn't do in 3 days, well, it's perspective, right? Like, you shouldn't get so upset about having to pay a $600 bill for something you did in, well, it's probably like 10 minutes, but something you did in 10 minutes, because I tried. I couldn't do it in 3 days, even with Google. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It still doesn't make me happy to pay tons of money, but I mean, I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you could walk away butthurt about it. It's just, it is what it is. We own a shop, and there are many times, like, someone will come in and they're like, man, my dad's been trying to fix this for days and we can't figure it out, man. How much is your diagnostic fee? And my husband will tell them. And there are times, like, if you go with us, we'll waive the diagnostic fee. Like, because if we understand that it's going to be a pretty heavy bill, we'll just waive the diagnostic fee. We don't do that all the time. But, you know, we understand people have hardships and stuff. But they'll come in and they'll be like, wait, you got to pay a diagnostic fee? Why can't you just tell me what's wrong with it? My husband goes, all right. So I tell you what's wrong with it. You take it down to Joe Blow Shade Tree Mechanic, and then he screws it up. Then you come back to me and expect me to fix it. I'm going to charge you another diagnostic fee because, well, I don't know what's wrong with it now. But people just have a mentality of give me free information. And it's like, to a degree, I understand, like, you know, common, quote, free information. But then there's times like the customer will come in. They're happy to pay it, the diagnostic fee. My husband goes back there, diagnoses the vehicle, and gets it finished within 30 minutes. But their bill ends up being, you know, like $400. They're like, bro, $400 for 30 minutes? And it aggravates people that own businesses that took, you know, 25 plus years or more to develop the skill so that it would only take them 30 minutes to fix and diagnose your vehicle, whereas it took you days and you still couldn't do it because you brought it to us. And it's like, never mind the fact that we're using the power. My husband had to use a $20,000 machine or even a $500 piece of equipment just to fix it. Like, you don't understand what it takes to get to where we're at so that it only takes him 30 minutes of your time to fix your problem that you couldn't fix.
Yeah, that makes sense. And usually I try so hard that by the time I'm done, I mean, I never feel good about paying tons of money. But I mean, usually I'll exhaust all of my abilities. So
yes,
by the time exactly. I get there, first of all, I'm like, I have to remember this and just come here first of all next time. Like, I know that if it's going to be in this skill set, I'm probably going to fail and I'm going to end up paying someone anyway. I should just start with that and just bite the cost. But something in me, like, I usually have to just try. Like plumbing, I think I'm done trying. I think I've learned my lesson.
I'm
just going to call a plumber. So
you're like, I'm going to keep trying. But then when you realize, okay, this is not my forte, let me just go ahead and outsource this. It'll be so much easier on me. Yeah, I hate paying it, but it'll be easier on me.
And so even though it doesn't make me happy, like, just having the thing fixed, I'm like, okay, great. That was worth it. Like, it was expensive. I hated paying it, but at least it's just done and it's done right and it has a warranty. But the guy who asked the question about hypnosis, says, I forgot, let's follow this up. What Bible verse would you use to defend that position? Well, I mean, the position, the only one Chris Roy gave was all of the above, which, sure, is it real? Is it demonic? Is it fake? So, I mean, fake doesn't matter. You could just say it's deceptive. So the verse about where it equates deception to lying, I'd say if it's fake and it's malicious, then they're deceiving you, which they're basically lying, which is equated to a sin. And is it real or is it demonic? I mean, the Bible doesn't directly mention hypnosis. So, I mean, you could say it's either deception, which would be lying, which the Bible, I think, makes a pretty clear case for. But if it's real and they're not deceiving you and they're like, yeah, this is legit, well, then it would have to be like relegated to kind of like what the Bible says about witchcraft. But more generically, 1 Corinthians, whatever you do or eat or drink or whatever you eat, drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Or Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. I don't know. That may be a stretch, but Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Let's see. Second to last one. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So I don't know. Do we see that as evil? And then, I mean, always, you know, when the Bible doesn't give black and white answers, Romans 14 is great to fall back on. So, you know, what is your conscience telling you? Like, your conscience, led by the Holy Spirit as a Christian, is this like just something you'd see at the carnival where everyone knows it's just a gag, it's a joke? My conscience is clear. Is it like some kind of, like, I don't know, David, whoever the David Copperfield of hypnosis is? Where they're really good at their craft and you probably don't think it's demons. You think they're just really playing on people's psychology or something like that. And they're like deceiving you and it somehow goes beyond a joke, or they're charging like they're like a psychic medium and they're like, let me contact the spirits. And even though everyone else thinks they're ridiculous, they believe it or something. Then they're lying to you. They're deceiving you. That would be bad. Or if they're like straight up like, yes, I'm possessed by the devil. I can see your thoughts. I'm going to hypnotize you now. It's like, all right, bye. So that's what I think about that. Courtney, you have any thoughts on that? I guess they could hypnotize a bear.
Sorry, super busy. Wasn't listening. I apologize.
No problem. Chris, you have any follow-up?
That's a pretty good summation. So not really.
Let's see. Check out the chat. Good job, Jamesy, for getting that song. Oh, hope your daughter gets well. She what? Just came home from school, Courtney?
I just dropped off my other kids at school, and she wasn't able to go because she says that her throat hurts a little bit. So, she'll be here today and probably go tomorrow.
Chris, you got a new friend in the chat.
Her to drink this. Uber tree hugging oregano tea.
Oil of oregano or something?
No, it's okay. So I grow oregano in my garden, and so my throat was hurting like the last week or so. That was the only symptom, nothing else, no postnasal drip, no nothing. And so I finally got sick of it. And I went out and got some oregano and boiled some water, made it strong tea, and it tastes horrible, just so you know, but it works. And so I told her last night, drink it. She didn't want to. So today she is going to be made to sit until she drinks it.
How old is this child?
She's 5.
Yeah, she's probably not going to dig that.
Yeah, she won't. I already told her. I'm like, straight up, real talk, you're not going to like this. But
put some honey in it.
Huh? Well, honey, see, honey works with certain herbs. Others, it just makes the flavor even worse. Yeah, because it's it's like savory. I'll tell you what it, so when you boil or, you know, you shouldn't boil it. You should boil the water and then put it in there. But it ends up smelling and tasting like a very strong plastic. You ever like opened up a toy and smelled the strong plastic and you're like, ugh. Yeah, it kind of smells like that. The oils are very
ginger. Like my wife loves ginger tea and it's really good and it fights your sore throat.
Yeah. I mean, well, see, here's the thing is I'm not necessarily fighting the sore throat. I'm fighting the cause. So if it's like bacteria, if it's like strep throat or something, I'm trying to kill it rather because it's antimicrobial. And they like ginger tea to a degree. But the problem is that's not going to be as potent as, oregano. I could combine the two together, but I just feel like that's just going to be extra, yeah, she's going to have to grin and bear it. It is what it is, you know?
Or you could use penicillin.
Yeah, but okay. So called the doctor yesterday just about getting my son a sports physical. Could not get them on the phone. Like, I called twice throughout the day at random times. It was like a 10-minute wait. And at the end of 10 minutes, it said, you are the first caller in line. And it was like the next 10 minutes. And I was like, okay, I've got life to do. And so that means they're probably super busy. I'd have to go in, get a strep throat culture. It's probably going to pop negative. They're probably going to have to send it off to be cultured. Once they send it off to be cultured, that's 2 to 3 days in, maximum 5 days for growth. And I could already be treating it at home with oregano.
So. Or you could hypnotize her into thinking that she doesn't have a sore throat.
Yes. Let's do that.
Well, Chris, you have a new friend in chat, says, let's see, where was it? People who support baby abortion need to be hung and body burnt. You're with that, right, Chris?
Wait a minute. Somebody said what now?
In chat. I said, let's see. People who support baby abortion need to be hung and body burnt.
I mean, support and do is two different things. You can support all kinds of wacky things and not face any penalties.
All right, we found something that goes farther than Chris.
I support repealing the 19th Amendment, but, you know, doesn't mean somebody should, you know, go after me about it.
Or it means they must go after you.
Oh, I have an excellent argument for repealing the 19th Amendment, by the way. Does everybody know what the 19th Amendment is?
It's the women voting, right?
You know what's really funny is that they did one of these, like, man on the street, like, here, sign my petition, and it was to end women's suffrage. And people are so dumb and illiterate, they're like, yes, we need to end women's suffrage. And so they're like, yeah, they're suffraging all over the place. And so, like, all these people were like, yeah, I'll sign up for that. Absolutely.
That's funny and scary. Awesome. Reed, were you speaking, by the way? You've been up here like an hour. Do you have anything to say, Reed, or are you just listening? Well, I don't know. Courtney, where do you stand on that? I know you said, like, men should be in power or something, or whatever you said earlier, but would you say women should still be able to vote?
yeah. I mean, I'm not a feminist, but I'm not, like, you know, let's go male patriarchy, put women up underneath your boot type of thing. I think the best way is to be in the middle. I think the examples of women leaders in the scripture show a particular type of woman, not necessarily all women, whereas the vast majority of men do have the tendencies to be leaders. So if you were to just hold women general, making general statements, women and men together, you're probably going to find more male leaders than you will female leaders of the equivalent. Although I acknowledge there are special cases,
But you don't typically build rules upon a special case, right? You can make an exception to a rule based on a special case, but you just don't build rules or laws based on the special case, unless, again, it's like a special rule for like a special needs kid. Like if you obviously you say, well, it's now a law and a rule that you have to, you know, comply with ADA. Everybody has to have a wheelchair accessible, blah, 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 to get into hospitals or to get into schools. Like that's an exception to the rule. It's not the general rule. So, and if we're talking about the type of woman that made the video today, no, absolutely not. No, for sure. 100%. I would be in agreement with Chris. Like she's an idiot.
Well, see,
So here's my argument for repealing the 19th, right? I can do it in two sentences. It's covenantal voting, that women are always under one covenant or the other. They're either under the covenant of their father in their home, or they're under the covenant of their husband. Single, unmarried women should have absolutely no right to vote because they're not under a covenant.
Yeah, so you're basing it theological.
And mine would be more, asking about that. Like he wants a total theocracy. And God help us if it's Calvin who determines
heck
that.
Yeah.
But mine would be more secular, and it would be like emotion,
I
right? So it's easy to say.
Pope.
So you keep calling me your Calvinist high priest. So I mean, I guess if I'm in charge, I'm okay with that.
Right. But, yeah. You're gonna dispense Calvinist, justice.
Way,
you are a Calvinist. You just don't admit it. It's fantastic.
Anyways, sure, whatever. Okay. So mine's secular though, and it would be. I mean, the reason people usually say women shouldn't vote is because, you know, the rule is women are more emotional. There's exceptions, but
right.
That's the rule. And men are more what? Anyway, but there are like women who are analytical and aren't so emotional in their like voting and analysis. And there are men who are incredibly weak and overly sensitive and emotional. So
right.
since there's rules, but then there's exceptions. So to get rid of those exceptions, it would have been nice if the Founding Fathers would have put as a requirement for voting in the Constitution some sort of general basic analytic versus emotion test. Just so like nothing big, just a very simple kind of like, I don't know, 10-question thing to gauge the voter and be like, look, if you're going to vote, here's 10 basic things that you need to answer right in order to demonstrate that you're not ruled by fear and emotion. You have the ability to analyze and think logically and then go ahead and vote. I think that would overwhelmingly fix so many of our problems that have been made laws through emotional manipulation and people saying things like the Affordable Care Act. And we're going to help poor people. And they're like, see, you want to help poor people. But it really screws poor people, makes it so expensive. No one can afford it and no provider will take it. And it's like quadruple any other free market practice. So, or like, Inflation Reduction Act, which is just like quadrupled inflation because they lie to you. So it's like, it would have been great if there was like a quick 10 question quiz you have to take in order to vote.
Yeah. I don't know, because then philosophical, like the interpretation, I guess I should say, I mean, the philosophy of law with regards to what those words mean. What does it mean to be emotional versus what does it mean to be analytical would still be argued today. I think it's just a call to the men. Good men, logical, good men that have empathy where empathy is needed and have righteous indignation where it's needed, I think should be the ones to make the decisions. But the problem is because God kind of set things in motion and let it be as it is, right? And we see this in the Bible that God gave over in the Levitical law that there is a sacrifice for the Sanhedrin, if you want to call it that, when they make their own mistakes. Right? That when they make a wrong ruling, they are to bring an offering for themselves to atone for that wrong ruling. But God still gave them the leeway to do it. So it's an unfortunate circumstance that we're in. But I think if you can get in front of a, you know, good male judge that has good common sense, but understands he needs to have empathy where it's due, then I think he'll be able to say, okay, clearly this woman is rational. Clearly this male is thinking properly. And I'm going to assess, similar to how like Solomon did with the two women that were like, no, that's my, you know, my baby. Her baby died in the night, blah, blah, blah. And then Solomon's like, all right, so unalive the baby. And so the woman whose baby it actually was, she goes, no, no, stop. She can have the baby. She can have the baby. And so Solomon said, stop right now. That woman who just said she, the other lady, can have the baby is the real true mother of that baby. Why? Because the true mother would rather another woman raise her child than to watch her child be unalived. And so Solomon, through his quote wisdom, was able to discern which woman was likely the actual mother, because the other lady was like, yeah, kill the kid. No big deal. So
your TikTok terms are so funny.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Unalived.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh. But yeah, and then, I mean, you see, like, all kinds of, you know, people who, for example, probably, you know, could pass some sort of test showing that they can reason and put emotion aside or whatever. But then you have, like, you know, the prosecutors and judges in New York going completely crazy. And, you know, these are people who, you know, I guess pass the bar and all this other stuff and have lots of legal experience, but they're completely throwing it to the wind because of their emotions, and they're letting themselves be ruled.
Nate, they're virtue signaling as well, because a lot of people want to be seen as, you know, I'm virtuous. Look at me. I'm taking up for the women. When low-key, truly, if you get them behind closed doors, they're like, not another one of these.
Well, yeah, it's the ones who always champion like feminist causes who get like end up like after they get found out like with like allegations of like rape and all this stuff. It's like, wait, well, I thought you were pro woman, but I'm talking about like the judges and like the Trump case and all this other stuff. Like, they're so like ruled by emotion over this, like they cannot think logically, and they're doing like irreparable harm to the entire judicial system. For example.
I think Solomon knew the real mother because he was also the father.
Well, that's interesting, but I mean, you know, if you read the story, it has to take the woman to be like, fine, you know, you can have the kid, and that's when. So,
I'm just joking because you know, I know he had a big harem or whatever.
I appreciate the joke, I guess. CEO, what's up?
Nothing much. What are you guys into today?
Oh, what aren't we into?
Oh,
I don't even know. You got anything new?
Oh, we were talking about reptilian people earlier.
Oh, anything besides that?
Oh, that was great.
Chris can eat people alive, apparently.
Are you are you a believer in the reptilians, CEO?
From like Alien or what?
No. Like, there's a whole theory out there about like how current politicians are just wearing human skins that are actually reptilians in disguise.
Oh, got it. Okay, so what I do know with a high degree of confidence is there's a... I'm not going to go all the way there. I'm going to get as close as I can, Chris. I'm getting as close as I can to you, okay?
This is fantastic.
I do know there are a surprising amount of members of Congress and other influential people that are Luciferians. So... I think that's the closest I can get you to that.
So I was trolling one of our friends on here, and I was like, should I be concerned if I can unhinge my jaw and swallow mammals whole? And he was like, wait, what?
He's making fun of his friend's gullibility.
I still just want that guy back who was talking about the 25-foot humans or aliens that he classified. Yeah, you saw classified. That was like the best room ever, Nate.
Oh, my. So Prashant was talking to that guy like in Hindi and was like, this guy's bonkers.
It's like, Bernie, where do you stand on the Nephilim? You brought it up, Chris. You did this.
I did not bring up the Nephilim. I brought up lizard people, and then you wanted
just talked about the 20. You just talked about the 25-foot Indian skeleton.
I know. I thought that dude was awesome, but he still does not hold a candle to the King of Atlantis. So let us all bow our heads in solidarity for a moment for the king of Atlantis.
You know, I think people were talking about all these like UFOs and stuff like back in the day, how I guess they like it's these objects break all the sensors. And it's like, you know, they're going very like fast through the air and no one knows what they are. But then they like hit the water and they keep going the same speed, like seemingly uninterrupted by like the surface of the water or anything like that. It's like, this defies physics. This defies everything. So one, that gets into, can God create a squared circle? Well, if there's things in our own material universe that defy the laws of physics as we know them, then it seems like something that God could definitely do if it seems to be happening by our own equipment. And we can't figure it out because it defies the laws of physics. But also, I think if it's ever proven true, that's where Atlantis came from. Like, it's these super high-tech things, and there's, like, all these people, like, you know, living under the sea in Atlantis, and it's probably their king who's flying these spaceships around. And they're not from Mars, they're from Atlantis. Sea. Yes. Under the sea!
There you go, yeah.
Well, are you all familiar with the 1952 UFO case over Washington, D.C.?
No, but it sounds like you are.
Yeah, you can Google this. This is like the most eyewitness scientific account you ever get, because 1,000 witnesses in Washington, D.C. saw it. The Air Force flew out jet planes, and the pilot saw it on the radar. The, the aviation control or whatever it is saw it on radar. And they had congressional hearings over it. So that is like by far the widest kind of accepted case of a sighting.
What about Phoenix Lights?
Remind me of the Phoenix Light one.
There's like a V-shaped like light formation of UFOs that went over the city of Phoenix, and people videoed it and like everyone saw it. And then like the governor did like a press conference where he had someone dress up like a gray alien and come on stage in the press conference as like a joke or something. And then the military just said it was like weather balloons or something like that.
Well, the proximity to that former military installation, Area 51, I would just suspect that probably was military craft.
It wasn't a weather balloon, though.
It wouldn't have been weather balloons, but I'm sure our military has created UFO-style craft, probably to do surveillance or for psychological reasons, like for probably a number of reasons, but I'm sure the military has created some of that. But this was 1952, so there wasn't any technology like this on Earth.
Well, there could have been. They're just like hiding it from us or something. I don't really believe in aliens. I believe it's all like secret technology that the government has, or military or something.
I think the most rational explanation, as crazy as it sounds, may be time travel. Like, you know, future us figured it out and are engaging in some sort of tourism.
Sweet. Or it could just be the people are delusional and dumb.
At what point did we...
Not the Air Force, though.
At what point did we lose the atheist guy? Was it when we didn't talk about Christianity enough, or started talking about bears and woods or abortions?
I have a pet bear and a pet capybara.
Wait, who's the atheist guy?
He was here a long time ago, and then I guess he just got bored with our topic and left.
So who's this rich guy? The rich guy in the chat? He was like, he was particularly insane.
Yeah, I don't know. He's like, they're all lying. They're all crazy. I'm like, who?
He didn't even say anything. Like, I was like, what are you even talking about? And he's like, rah.
I don't know if he was coming from, like, another room. Like, I don't recognize him from before. So maybe
never heard of him.
I don't know. Maybe he needs to be hypnotized.
Based on what you just said, I dare you to change the room title to Bears, Woods, and Abortions.
I should have done that. Yeah.
Or we could call it Bear Wood Abortions. Just let people's imaginations run wild.
I was going to say something that mattered. Gosh, I forgot.
There's a first time for everything, Nate.
It probably didn't matter.
Probably not. Oh, you said that the Air Force was smart. And I was going to say before or after they started doing high heel training.
Yeah, I mean, like,
well, before, decades before.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I trust the military less and less.
Oh, Steph heard us talking about hypnosis and aliens and hippie stuff.
And witches.
Welcome, Steph. How are you doing, Steph? Good morning. I think you traded your sick kid for Courtney's sick kid.
Herbalism.
Oh, still got one who's sick. Well,
Sorry, I heard my name again.
Oh, Nate, how's your daughter doing with her metal mouth? Is she still in pain?
No, she seems better. Like, every day or two, she'll be like, ah, it's kind of sore, blah, 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 but she seems better-ish for having a mouthful of metal.
So, Nate, would you rather have your daughter in the woods with a man or a bear?
Depends on the man, depends on the bear.
Could it be a bear man?
Oh, like man-bear-pig? Like
man-bear-pig?
No, definitely not man, bear, pig. That was
all right. No, I'm just saying. Hey, you know the most important rule of hunting, right? Courtney, do you know the most important rule of hunting?
It depends on what you're hunting.
Just be faster than Chris.
No, the most important
rule.
Yeah, it's a
bear. I can outrun Chris. So there's that.
You think so?
You know, that's I'm still
a track star. So yeah, I know so.
I'm still going back and forth over that question. It's such a hard question, right? Because how did the man get in the woods? Because you try to think, okay, all joking aside, it's like completely being serious, right? And then it's like, but if I'm completely being serious for this question, you know, man or a bear, it's like there are serious questions. Like you'd like to say, okay, well, obviously I'm not going to leave them with a wild animal. Okay, so definitely a man, and you know, let's just hope he's not a predator.
How close in proximity to the child is each of these creatures?
Well, yeah, they're like within 5 foot. You're hanging with the man, and you're hanging with the bear.
But the rest of my thought was, how did this man get in the woods? Like, did this man get in the woods by being like?
How did you, as a good mother, drop your child off in the middle of the woods?
Well, like, I'm not a good
man. Gets in woods because man either is hunting or man is looking for solidarity, or I mean, man is lost. But either way,
or man is a homeless drug addict who's wandered in the woods, or man is on the run from being an escaped convict, or
okay.
Or so man is some hippie who's grabbing mushrooms from the woods.
So here is. You're less likely to find men that are homeless living in the woods. It's just, you find them maybe on the outskirts of the woods where they set up their tent. But I have never walked into the woods and stumbled upon a full-time homeless person. You see that in places where Chris lives, city places, because people want to.
Also, what kind of woods are we talking about? Like Yosemite National Forest, or like just a wooded area, like outside a suburb area?
I ran away from a grizzly bear in Ohio, in Idaho.
What kind of bear?
Yeah, it was a grizzly bear. That's a true story. I did run away from a grizzly bear in Idaho.
I mean, either way, it's less likely the type of man that you're going to run into in the woods is going to be like a survivalist, or he's going to be hunting to feed his family. But that doesn't mean that just because he's a survivalist, he's also not a sex predator. I mean, I can acknowledge that. But the point of the conversation is which is more likely to cause harm within, you know, you're sitting there at camp, you're forced to be, for some reason, just say in this premise, you're forced to be in the same vicinity, and the vicinity is, you know, 10, 20 foot apart from each other for a 24-hour period. Which is more likely to cause harm? Is it the man to the daughter, or is it the bear to the daughter?
I don't know, but you can't say that. I mean, because No, for real. You can't just say that because, like, some wild animals are just skittish. Like, I was walking my dog in Colorado. There's, like, probably a 400-plus-pound black bear. And my little dog, he was, like, still a baby. And we're just walking, and I was like looking behind me because we were coming out of the woods, and we were walking down a hill, and I turn, and I'm like, oh, crap. And probably like, I don't know, 25 yards in front of me was this giant black bear, and it was just kind of walking across nonchalantly, and me and my dog just stopped, and we just kind of froze there, and it just kind of looks at me, and it just kind of keeps slowly walking across. So like, it had no interest in messing with me.
Yeah, that's so, because you weren't forced to stay in a 20-foot vicinity for 24 hours.
I don't know. I'm just going to break
I never got an answer to my question. What's the most important rule of hunting?
And it depends on what you're hunting.
Anything. Just pick something. Duck hunting.
You, people, your fellow human.
No, it's never spill your beer.
Oy vey.
That's from the Mad Bear Pig South Park. Are you guys joking? Come on.
Yeah, so when I don't know South Park. I feel like it causes people to lose brain cells, but okay.
Dude, South Park is one of the smartest TV shows. Yeah. It's really good. My favorite one was the Catholic Church, where all of the Catholic priests were lizard people on South Park.
That's where you got this idea. There's got to be one about Calvinism.
There's not enough of them for to matter.
They said the Mormons was correct religion. That's obviously not true.
Yeah, but they did do the whole Mormon thing, and they did it really well. Like, they actually told the story of Mormonism, and it was super accurate.
Well, that's like the creators they're Mormon creators.
What?
Well, the creators of South Park were raised Mormon.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not practicing, but their Scientology one. I think that may be about my favorite episode. How like they go through Scientology. Oh my gosh, that one's no. I try to get more people on board.
I was gonna ask if you all saw the one with fish sticks and Kanye West.
Yeah. Yes. What are you, gay fish?
Yes,
that's the best. That's the best episode.
The Scientology one was great because, like, the whole like halfway through they start telling the story of Scientology, and like they flat like they have these like but it's all cartoonized, so it's like, you know, Lord Xenu and the volcano and these little spirit bodies flying, and it's all in cartoons, and it's just hilarious. But like, because they're telling the actual story of Scientology, but they're doing it with, like, you know, instead of like serious drawings, it's like cartoon drawings, and the whole time they're just like flashing this like warning banner. It's like, this is why Scientologists actually believe, like, during the whole story. It's like this space tentacle guy. I'm like, this is so funny.
Oh, did you ever see the one where they did Mohammed? And now the studio censored it, and you can't get that one anymore.
Can you, if you go to like southpark.com?
I think you can still get it there, but like they won't play it on TV anymore. Like, they won't play the rerun on TV anymore because they're terrified of Muslims, which I think is hilarious. And the thing about it is, like, they did that because of the Charlie Hebdo thing in France. Yeah. And for those of you with short memories, there was a
bunch of peaceful killings.
Yeah, there's a cartoon contest to draw Muhammad, you know, and so then the Muslim terrorists went into the Charlie Hebdo offices and killed a bunch of people.
Peacefully, Chris. Peacefully murdered.
Yeah. Peacefully beheaded people. That's what Muslims do.
Just saying, if, you know, they didn't take guns away from their citizens. Could have ended a lot different.
Man, Islam is the worst.
Yeah, I'm like hard pressed to think now, like, what's a worse cult than Islam?
Probably one where they're just like straight up like sacrifice people, like maybe like an Aztec human sacrifice. Like, maybe, that's a good point. I don't know, because the numbers, though, like, it was a lot smaller. So even though they sacrifice people every day, the totality would probably be smaller versus, you know, billions of Muslims.
I have a research project. You want to hear my research project? I'm going to give this to my 14-year-old. His research project this summer is, who killed more people, Muslims or Catholics? And let's figure that out.
So a question related to that. If you pulled out all the Catholic atrocities, how many atrocities are you left within Christianity?
What are the Catholic atrocities?
Like 7.
What seven are the events or seven dead people?
When are the Catholics killing people? What are you talking about?
What? Are you joking?
For real?
Oh, wow.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah, just read some history books. Well, we could start with the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre, where the French Huguenots were neighbors with their peaceful Catholic neighbors, and the King of France declared Huguenots must be killed, and they murdered 100,000 Parisians in one day, and they clogged up the River Seine that runs through Paris with the bodies of dead babies. Oh, and by the way, the Pope was super into this, and there in the Vatican is a fresco of the entire St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre enshrined in the Vatican, in St. Peter's Basilica, in an antechamber for your viewing pleasure.
For example.
For one example.
Yeah, I don't know where else to go with that.
They weren't true Catholics. It's pretty good.
They weren't Catholics at all. That's the point, right? Like, they weren't Catholics, so they gotta die. Or, like, you know, be purified by pain. It's like, no, stop it.
James, he was saying, like, you know how, like, whenever some Muslim atrocity happens,
okay, got it.
Somebody's like, that's not true Islam, you know, and you're like, wait a minute, what? No, that is true Islam.
Well,
yeah, except, see, they can't get away from that because it was, like, you know, sanctioned by the Institute. So, like, if the Institute is doing it, you can't say, well, they're not true Catholics. Like, that by definition, is a true Catholic because they are sanctioned by the Institute. Versus if it was like a Catholic who was like, no, I don't follow the Pope and he's not my Pope. And I just follow, you know, this Catholic doctrine, but I discount all of this, then that would not be a true Catholic, by definition. So I think that's where non-denominational, right? The ones with the least amount of overhead. It's like, we don't have to apologize for some other crazy offshoot of a leader or something like that. Cause they're, you know, Jesus is our overhead. That's it. Not some dude in a dress.
Well, I know, like, the Spanish Inquisition, the Pope was against that, and he told the King of Spain to stop, and the King of Spain, like, refused, and then, like,
Jesus wore a dress.
Wait, what now? Dude, you need to reread on that. The Inquisition was actually a branch of the Roman Catholic Church. And it still is. There is still an Inquisition of the Roman Catholic Church. Like, it exists. Like, the King of Spain had nothing to do with the Inquisition. I don't know what...
Really?
I don't know who gave you, like, whatever Romanist propaganda that is, but that is completely false. Like, historically.
Well, maybe you're just a victim of Protestant propaganda.
Let's say that. Let's take these from
original writings. We use original sources. Yeah.
And Chris will link those sources in chat right now while we talk to Death. What's up, Death?
I came up to say that Jesus probably wore a dress.
Is a robe a dress?
Yeah, it's kind of close.
There's got to be a discernible difference. Like, for example, if you went somewhere in the desert in the Middle East and accused Muslim men of wearing dresses, we probably wouldn't see you again. So they would definitely distinguish.
The thing that's distinguished is that the fact that one of them is that men wear one thing and women wear the other. But what it looks like is pretty damn simple.
Did you figure out Christianity is true yet, Death?
Probably not in the way that you do. I think Jesus rose from the dead.
You believe he rose from the dead?
I mean, that's a start.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fits the facts. That theory fits the facts the best.
Some people say that makes me a Christian. Some people don't. So I'll let you guys decide.
Well, I mean, like Jesus, you know, says it's not enough to believe. Like, you know, the demons believe. So it's like, well, it doesn't matter if you think Jesus is everything he says he is. Like, if you're not willing to, you know, follow him, well, then it's like, well, may as well be a demon. I mean, they believe he exists and they believe he's God. But that doesn't put them in a better state because they're rebelling against that, which is crazy to me because it's like, well, if you actually know this, then why would you rebel? Other than I guess they did that when they, I don't know, somehow thought they had a chance at doing something and now they're just eternally screwed because of it. So make good choices.
Well, they were made to do that, right, Chris?
If you ask Chris, sure.
Well, I think the demons are in like a different category than people, though, anyways.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's free will and it is compatible with God's decree. So people choose to do evil things. Demons choose to do evil things.
We're so docile today.
Oh, I'm trying to find a non-Latin version, like a translated version of Torquemada's writings for you, Ebrecht, so you can just read the Litter of the Inquisition in Spain for a shorter period. Well, it went on for 400 years, but, you know, for a period of time during the what we would call the Spanish Inquisition, he was the leader of it.
See you. You got anything else? Usually have some fun and exciting topics.
I'm preparing to head to NYC, so my mind's elsewhere. Sorry.
Oh, to join the pro-Palestinian protest? Okay.
No, I'm speaking at a branding conference.
Oh, you sure you don't have flares that you're going to pass out and Palestine flags?
Not today. I did look up a fascinating stat the other day, though, related to this. So do you know that we killed less civilians in the Iraq war in 7 years than what Israel has killed Palestinian civilians in 7 months? That seems pretty strange to me.
Say that again. Wait, which statistics are we using? The ones from Hamas?
No. We're using the IDF statistics. So the IDF has said that about 30,000 Palestinians have died, and 2/3 of them have been citizens. Which by the way, is actually a pretty good statistic.
What was the first one?
The two to one ratio is pretty good. Go ahead.
CEO, what was the first stat you quoted? That America killed in all of what war?
The second Iraq war.
Wait, okay. I don't know about the second one. Is that the one when the Clinton administration and Madeleine Albright was in charge?
No, this is Bush's.
I was thinking like if it was the one where Madeleine Albright was, like she's on camera being like, yes, and we killed 500,000 probably children, and that was okay because we got what we wanted. Anyway, so I mean, even if you say fine, okay, Bush's incursion or whatever, but I mean, just go back a little further and, you know, Albright's on camera and is it Barbara Walters? And she's just like, yeah, we killed 500,000 children and yeah, some more people and adults. Ah. So, you know, we've done pretty bad things.
Well, so my point was going to be this for discussion. Okay. So the IDF has said they have a 2-to-1 civilian to enemy combatant ratio, which is actually considered the gold standard for civilian to military combatant rate. So I'm not criticizing that, but 20,000 dying in 7 months, as opposed to 14,000 dying in 7 years, suggests to me that maybe there's some venom there, which I think would be very understandable because you have Israeli soldiers who were actual friends and family were killed versus American soldiers who it wasn't as personalized for them. So I'm just wondering if that reflects somehow in terms of how they engage.
So this is from the book, The Dark History of the Popes. And it says, the Spanish Inquisition did not operate under the aegis of the Pope, but on the authority of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain. This came about after King Ferdinand blackmailed Pope Sixtus IV into allowing him to create an Inquisition by threatening to withdraw Spanish military support at a time when Muslim Turks were endangering Rome. This arrangement challenged the spiritual power of the papacy, and Sixtus was never happy about it, especially after it became clear that the methods of the Inquisition in Spain were even more barbaric than almost anywhere else.
And now switching topics again, CEO.
Propaganda from the papists, but yeah, no, not true.
And it is true, Chris. Just accept the truth, Chris.
Wait,
go read the sources I just gave you with the primary writings of Torquemada, a cardinal, and also Inquisitions. Anything with the death penalty had to be carried out with the civil authority in all cases, not just the Spanish Inquisition, because they're like, ooh, they're being mean.
No. Why did the civil authority
was always the one who was issuing the death penalties on orders from the Pope.
So why did
the Inquisition a part of the Catholic faith? Yes or no?
Not necessarily. The Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, so that's just dumb. So you go back, read a couple books, get back to me. Just
seriously. Yeah, okay, but why, we're waiting why for that. Wait, CEO, CEO. Wait, CEO, yeah, one topic at a time would be great. I don't know how we get back to that, but CEO, yeah, but also, I mean, there has to be, you can't just blame Israel for everything bad, because, like, a new thing today showed how they just took out, like, a Hamas, you know, they pushed them all the way to, like, Rafah, right, to the southern tip of Gaza, and it showed today, like, a zoomed-in map how they targeted a Hamas, like, two Hamas rocket launchers, and they were embedded, like, 15 meters from the like survivors camp. So it's like, well, look, guys, we're trying to mitigate risk. We're trying not to just murder civilians. I mean, you know, we can get back to the carpet bombing and that's a little harder to follow. But for this, I believe that they tried to mitigate risk. Like they tried to use precision strikes for these rocket launchers because they're right next to civilians. But that's the kind of crap Hamas does. Like they don't care about the human lives. So they put their artillery right where civilians would be to make it harder for Israel to do that. So civilians get killed in the process, blame freaking Hamas.
Anyway, yeah, sure. I mean, I think it is definitely the case that Hamas did this attack in the first place, knowing Israel would retaliate and knowing civilians would die. And they played a political game where Israel was developing a little bit too good relations with Saudi and UAE and some of the other Muslim countries, and they wanted to drive division in that. So no doubt everything you just said about Hamas. All I was suggesting is that, like, when war is personal to you, you know the people or you know someone who died, maybe you end up being a little bit more aggressive. That was my only point.
I mean, I guess I see your point. I don't know what to do with it, but other than say sure. Courtney, kill them all, I mean, like, got somewhere out, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think it's an indication of, you know, people doing war crimes because they're angry. I think it's an indication that the, like Nate said, Hamas uses civilians for human shields, you know, and they specifically want to create, the idea of Hamas is to create as many civilian casualties as possible to gain sympathy for the world. It's part of their war strategy. It's like, I mean, so the way that, you know, the Americans had less civilian casualties in Iraq versus what's going on in Gaza is because the people of Iraq weren't putting their children in front of bombs and having them blown up on purpose, because that is what happens in Gaza.
Courtney, I was asking your opinion on war. I'd only be concerned if you said yes, but I said, what's your position? Kill them all, let God sort them out?
You said world war?
No, any war. Your position on war. Kill them all and let God sort them out?
I always pray that I never actually have to use any of the skill sets that I've developed over the years, whether it be a personal war between me and another human, or it's like a war with, you know, my country, you know, where it's actually an invasion of American homeland. So
I understand why war happens. I don't like it, and I think it's atrocious, but I'm not a, you know, let God sort it out, kill them all, let God sort it out. But when it comes down to it, I go, you know, God's will be done, whether that is in my favor or not. That's just the way that it is.
Michael, what's your view on war? Just surrender? I'm kidding.
No, I think, well, first of all, the first thing I have to say is, Nate, look at you using meters a few minutes ago. That was so, I'm so proud of you.
Michael, it was a conscious thought I had to think. I'm like, oh, do I say feet? No, that's too close. I think they said meters. I was just reporting the article.
Yeah, so, okay, so here's, okay, so a quick little quiz. You said 15 meters. Do you know about how many feet that is?
I can get close. Hold on. Okay, hold on. I think it's about, like almost around 3 feet, 3 feet to a meter. I'll just say roughly 50, taker minus 10.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, yeah, close to 45-ish, yeah. It's 3 feet, 3 inches. It's 3 feet, 3 inches. But no, you're very, very, no, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
So, and not to be in, you know, the condescending kind of way. But also, no, like, so my view on war is, as little as possible. The Canadian government has always taken more of a stance on peacekeeping rather than war making.
I heard you guys have a tank now.
And that's kind of, well, just one. Don't attack us. There's only one. It is interesting. I mean, this is kind of like pre-World War II, right? Because, you know, the Canadian Armed Forces were, you know, one of the ones leading the charge on the beaches of Normandy. But yeah, like kind of post World War II, it's been very much more of a peacekeeping kind of thing, which I'm in favor of.
Now they'll just use it on their own citizens.
Yeah, no, that's not ever again. Like I said, there's only one, right? So we like, and what we'll do is we'll just jam up all the gears with maple syrup, and it won't be able to move.
Courtney, what were you saying to Michael?
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know why you're asking Michael that. You should ask Nate that. He's the Calvinist.
Yes, freely choose God this day. The choice is yours. Choose God.
I will
God.
Say just one other thing quickly. I have to go into a meeting in a minute or so. But so I had that conversation last night with a guy named Wes, who's a presuppositionalist. On.
Yeah,
Nate, I forgot to send you the link to that.
I'm upset. You forgot to send me that. Yeah.
I know. I'm a terrible person. But what I will say is it was a very good conversation. And you can find him, I think his tag on Instagram is at proof that God exists. His name is Wes. And what I would say, just to kind of drop a bomb before I have to leave, is Chris, you should speak to a guy like that rather than some of the people you've been speaking to, because we talked for 2 hours and 20 minutes last night, and it was civil. It was cordial. And yeah, it's the kind, and we've already kind of set up round two of the discussion. That's how amicable it was.
But you came in here swinging that you were going to destroy him and annihilate him and just clown on him.
And I think from a discussion perspective, I did. But at the end of the day, we were two people diametrically opposed from a worldview perspective, and we still behaved like decent humans. Something that the ding dong acolytes that you've been listening to don't have the capacity to do. Esther.
Michael, do you think a presupposition is something that's unjustified?
It depends what the presupposition is. So, for example, and we talked about this before, and I do kind of have to – I've got about 45 seconds. So I know that the presup mantle is you start with God. You can't. You have to assume things like the validity of your senses and logic and reason and your own existence before you do that. You can't even say God exists without you need the first law of logic identity in order to even do that. So you simply cannot start from the place you say you start from. It's nonsense. I'd be willing to have the conversation with you again, but I kind of do have to go now. So anyway, if I can come back, I will.
God bless you.
I'm going to have to go soon, but that makes me wonder, because I know I would have presented this before. But when Michael just said that, like maybe this is just too different or something, but I know I would have brought this up before, because when I just heard that, he's like, well, you can't even start with God, or you say you start with God because you have to do this. It's like, well, no, there's two different things. It's like the person is saying they before they realize, hey, I have fingers. Hey, I have a mouth. I can talk.
Yeah,
can
no, no one's thing. Saying
or,
that.
Or, yeah, because it's like, you're. I don't believe they're doing that. They're just, they're saying when start with God, I'm not saying like before I can think I start with God. I'm saying God exists. Like before I exist, I don't need my logic. I don't need my faculties. When I say I start with God, just think of God. I'm saying God exists first. Is that where he's
that's
caught up?
That's not the precept argument. You're saying no, in order to even have a thought, like you can't have a thought without God. And then you'll mean it in like the causal sense. Like,
right. We understand like the human is the approximate starting point. Like we do start with our own thinking, but then as the precept will say, we work backwards and we say God is
the
God.
That's not true, Eva. It's saying that it's part of your epistemology that God is required. That's why it's called revelatory epistemology.
No, but we start with ourselves. Like Van Til will acknowledge that our own thinking is the, he calls it an approximate starting point.
That's autonomous. That's literally autonomous epistemology. That's not theonomous.
Yeah, but no. But we have to start with ourselves, but then we work backwards.
No, you can't. You can't divorce that. For them, they're saying that it's not only true that God caused everything into existence, but to even have, like, a thought.
Yes.
Like, even you have to have God to even have epistemology.
Yeah, I understand that. But you don't start, like, there's an approximate starting point and then there's an ultimate starting point. So we're going to admit that, like, yeah, humans are the approximate starting point. But then the ultimate starting point is God. That's the difference.
Yeah, I was just thinking the way he said that, though, and then I'm going to have to go in, like, very, very soon, too. But the way he said that, though, is, like, it just seemed like he was presenting it a way a presuppositionalist would not, even if they present it that way, like, they wouldn't ultimately think it that way. Because we believe God obviously exists before anything else. So there is God. Like, we don't need to realize or we don't need to think about it for it to be true. So, like, before we have any sense, God still exists. So, like, that's what we're positing, right? It's not that, like, I'm a baby and I grow up and I just think God. It's like, well, I don't have to think God. God exists whether I think God or not.
Yeah, but that's, like, true for – that's, like, not controversial. Every Christian thinks that. Or every theist basically thinks that.
Well, I know, but that's
– God's, like, the ultimate
– well, that's why I think it's what the precept is. Okay. Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's why it's, like – well, for the Christian, the precept argument, like, is easy because we're already Christians. We already believe it. We don't need to be convinced. We're like, yeah, sounds good to me. But for the non –
there's a different Christian, claim. There's a different claim, though.
I get it. I was just looking for clarification. So yeah, I got it.
The argument.
You guys want to say anything quick for a final thought, and then I'm going to have to jump out.
Oh, the presupp is actually designed. The transcendental arguments were created by Kant as a way to defeat skepticism, but he failed because he didn't include God in his system. He tried to reason without God. So yeah, that's why the precept is such a strong apologetic versus a skeptic person, because the form of the argument was literally designed to defeat skepticism.
Def, you got a final thought?
God bless the room.
All right, everyone, have a good day, and we'll see you on the morrow. Later.